see. You and I, we are a product of our thoughts. We are a reflection of what we think. Sometimes you can just look at someone's countenance and you can tell immediately a great deal about them. A great deal. Some look, sit there and they just have such a sour look on them. Just a sour look. And you can tell that the focus is almost entirely in negative thoughts. And those negative thoughts are destructive. Your mind is continually being transformed. Continually, every day. The only question really is, who or what is doing the transformation? Who's transforming your mind? That's a most interesting question. So you and I, we can change. We can be transformed from what we are today into something else. That means your character can be changed. But your thinking must be involved and changed. We can change our problems by renewing our mind. In 2 Corinthians, let's turn to that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18. Again, you see that in order to embrace this kind of lifestyle, it requires an investment. You're investing yourself. But we all, with an unveiled face there means an open heart. In other words, you don't look at God and say, God, are you lucky to have me? What a blessing I am to you, Jesus. If you had more people like me, this would be a better world. An unveiled face is an honest face. An honest approach before God. So we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. What does that mean? Beholding is in a mirror. What do you think that means? Beholding as in a mirror. Come on, ladies, what does that mean? You get yourself ready in the morning. You don't look in the mirror? Some look in the mirror for quite a while. Some men do too. Is anyone familiar with the Archie comics? Okay, you know the character Reggie? What is he doing? He's always looking for his reflection. That's the kind of focus I'm talking about, where you are focused on this. You're focused. Beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, the things of God. Are being transformed, that's the same word as we're talking about in Romans 12:2, into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So it's saying that you are transformed into whatever you're focused on. Whatever you focus on is changing you, transforming you. Whatever that is. So it's saying you can be transformed by changing your thinking. You can be changed by changing your thinking. And we all means every one of us. As we focus on something, we are focused on the glory of the Lord, on the Word of God, on the person of Christ, with an open and an honest heart, then we become transformed. We become transformed. It's like when some of the youngsters, they get an idol. They want to be the idol. You know, they want to be that person. So they dress like them. They put their makeup on them. The ones that are really gone have gone to the point of having cosmetic surgery to look like them. We're not being asked to do that. But God had an intention for you and I. Did you know that he had? Here's one of the ones that I found. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. From the moment you got saved, this was God's plan for you. Romans 8:29. Now we could say that for every person who got saved, God predestined, he planned for that person to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's Romans 8:29. Every person that got saved, God's plan was that they would be conformed to the image of his Son. Galatians 4:19. What does it say? That Christ be formed in you. Romans 12:2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is central to the renewal process. So, it talks about if as we behold him, well, Jesus isn't standing here in front of us. So how do we behold him? How do we do that here? If we don't have Jesus himself, what do we do? What do we have? We have his word. So as we read and meditate on and soak in the word of God, we will be changed into that word. That word will begin to transform us. We will be transformed into the image of that word. That word begins to work on us. But we must give ourselves to it. We must surrender to that word. I must embrace that word. I must desire to become what that word is saying. And that takes time. That takes time. It takes commitment. It takes a sincere and a genuine humility to say, I want to be what God says I am. I want to be that. I want to be that. It's a lifelong process. But where do you want to spend eternity? Do you want to be in heaven? Do you want to fit in heaven? Or do you want to stand out as a sore thumb in heaven? You want to fit in, naturally. The way to fit in is to be like Jesus. That's what you're called, to be like Jesus. There are a lot of people that are very brave today and talk about how they're not worried about this and they don't care. And, you know, if God doesn't like me the way I am, tough bananas. But I absolutely assure you that when they stand before heaven and hell, there are no tough guys. There are no tough guys in hell. There are only people screaming out, let me try again. Let me start. There's no do-overs in heaven, in hell. Now, today, he says, if you hear his word, today, if you hear his word, do not harden your heart. It's so easy to do that. It's so easy to do that. And I don't mean someone who goes, you know, I don't care, I'm going to do my... I'm not talking about... You look at someone like Judas, who spent 3 years with Jesus, 3 years, heard all the teachings Jesus did, all of them, participated in the miracles, participated. When he sent them out, they didn't come back and said, boy, this worked for everybody but Judas. Didn't work for him. Worked for everybody. Everybody. Including Judas. So he was involved in the whole shebang. Something happened to him. That shows so clearly that even if you are in the presence of the best teacher in the world, and he had the best teacher in the world, he had the best everything in the world, that you can still harden your heart. Judas hardened his heart. And it didn't happen instantly, but it happened over time. It happened over time. That's why you've got to guard your heart. If that can happen with Jesus as your teacher, imagine what can happen here. I'm not Jesus. No? Now I know you all know that, but the reality is that if it can happen with Jesus, it can happen anywhere. You've got to guard your mind and your heart. You know what's one of the best safeguards for that is? Humility. Humility. A humble heart does not seek to have its own way. It isn't arrogant. I think of Judas and I think, my goodness, God, help me. Help me. Because if it can happen to him, it can happen anywhere, to anyone. And the end result of that is the Bible says that Satan entered Judas. He didn't start off that way, but his heart was not hot for Christ. Is yours? Is yours? You have to ask yourself, that's a rhetorical question, by the way. But is your heart given over to Christ? Are you seeking after God? Because if you're not, there's a danger there. There's a danger for you. The devil is, he's so deceptive. He's so deceptive, you know. And he'll work any angle he can, any angle, to turn you off from God or the things of God. It's so dangerous. I'm telling you, it's so dangerous. Because in life you will experience difficulties. You will. You have. You will continue to. And in those situations, there's always the danger of the heart hardening and saying, you know, I've had enough of this. Who needs the grief? You know, especially when you are experiencing difficulties with other Christians and you find someone that you put your trust in betrays you. Someone that you thought was a friend puts a knife in your back. Someone that you thought cared about you speaks ill of you. There's a danger in that, that your heart can get, who needs the grief? That's where you've got to stay connected to God. That happened to Jesus. He experienced all those things. He experienced disappointments, as we do, as we will. If you don't stay connected to Jesus, those disappointments can derail you. The enemy is always there, waiting to say to you, oh yeah, no, this doesn't work. No, nobody cares. Look how they hurt you. You know, they're not listening to you. And you know what? There's truth to that. There is truth to it. I listened to a fellow speak. He's a Catholic fellow, and he was speaking at a commencement at, was it Notre Dame University? Very Catholic university, anyway. He was an excellent speaker. He was a football coach, very successful one. I don't follow American football very well, so I can't remember his name. But he was extremely well-known, very successful, and very popular. And he spoke to the graduating class, and he said to them, one of his comments, and there's humor in it, but there's truth in it. And he said, don't tell everybody your problems. You know, people go around and tell all their problems, how are you? Oh, God. He said, don't tell everybody your problems. He said, 90% of the people don't care. And the other 10% are happy that you have them. And I thought, you know, food for thought. Food for thought. I don't think it's quite like that, but you know what I'm saying? What I was thinking more was that we're a product of our thoughts. So if you're always thinking about your problems, then that's what's feeding your soul. That's why we've got to feed your soul the Word of God. As we behold His Word, we are soaking in the image of Christ. We're soaking. The image today that we have in us is a result of what we have focused on in the past. Now that may be good news or bad news. The good news, it can be changed. If you're not happy with it, it can be changed. And that God will help you. God will help you. Because it's His requirement that we change. So I read Romans 8:29, conform to the image of Christ. Go over a couple of chapters to Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. That's a hard thing to receive. We live in this world. We're influenced by this world. There are so many things in this world coming at us. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And we know the word transformed is the word metamorphosis there. Caterpillar to butterfly. How do you do that? How are you transformed? Very clear. How? By the renewing of your mind. That's how we're transformed. By the renewing. So why am I harping on getting the word in you? Because that's how we're transformed. Why does the devil work so hard to stop us from soaking in the word? Because he knows that's how we're transformed. He doesn't want us to be transformed. He wants us to be miserable. Like him. He's done for, and he wants you and I to be in the same boat. Be transformed by renewing your mind to the things of God. We are transformed as we behold him. When we're in a situation, we need to take a moment, step back, and think about the mind of Christ. What would the Lord do? What does God think of this? Hearing his voice. How do I hear God's voice? That's a learned ability. We learn to hear the voice of God. We learn that. And as we practice it, we can get better at it. But it takes effort. Well, Jesus, what would you do? What do you think I should do, Lord? What are you speaking to me now, Holy Spirit? What are you trying to tell me? See, if you have the word in you, it's much easier for the Holy Spirit to bring that word out. If you don't have it in you, he can't bring it out. We need to imprint the character of Christ on our inner selves. That's what Galatians talking about, that Christ be formed in you. That's imprinting, having Christ formed in us. What is it, ducks that have that? Little ducks? Oh, nobody knows that, eh? Oh. When ducks are born, I'm pretty sure it's ducks, the first person they see becomes their everything. The first person they see. So, normally I guess it's mother duck. And they are literally, call it imprinting. If you look it up, imprinting. They see mother duck, and mother duck becomes the focus of their lives. But if for some reason it's not mother duck they see, then that whatever they see becomes the focus of their lives. We need to see Christ, that he becomes the focus of our lives. Now we've looked at Romans 12:2, 2 Corinthians 3:18, Galatians 4:19, and one more here in James. James chapter 1, verse 22. James 1:22, which says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness or humility the implanted word, not just the word, the implanted word which is able to sozo your soul. What is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. What he's promising us here is that the word of God is able. See, that is interesting, is able. Not a guarantee. Because if you don't receive it, if you don't implant it, if you don't embrace it, it's not going to. If you only keep the word of God up here, it won't give you anything more than frustration. There are a lot of people that can quote chapter and verse and have zero power in their lives. Because it must move from here to here through here. It is able, as we embrace that word, meekness, humility is embracing the word. It's implanted. It's implanted. What does it mean, planted? It means that it's not just passing on through. It is planted firmly in your spirit, in your soul, and it is able to sozo, the word sozo, make whole, heal, restore, save, your mind, your will, your emotions. Do you need help in that? Do you need any help in your mind, in your emotions? And your... Of course we do. Of course we do. Well, it's saying that God, His Word, will bring healing to those areas, because you can heal your body through the Word of God. You can also make yourself sick by your way you think. We can literally draw disaster to us through our mouth. We can draw it. I've told you the story of the lady I worked with. She was like that character in Peanuts with the cloud. I mean, what's his name? No idea. Well, anyway, in Peanuts there's a character.
Pigpen?
Good name. There was a cloud over him, and wherever he went, disaster happened. This lady was like that. She would literally draw disaster through her mouth. She would call it in. Not purposely. She wasn't trying to do it. But she didn't realize that you can't constantly speak negative and think you're going to get good things happen. And her mouth was filled with negative comments about herself, about everything in life. How can you determine if you are causing harm to yourself in that way? How do you determine? Because most of us, you ask someone, do you speak negative? Oh, no. I mean, occasionally, you know, maybe occasionally. And then they find out that 8 out of 10 words are negative that come out of their mouth. One of the best methods to address this is to record it. Record what you're saying. Now, I don't mean go around with a tape recorder, but whatever works for you, you know, I mean, there are many different ways to do this. But you record not every word, okay, that's, but maybe every hour, every 2 hours. Do it for just a week, 1 week. Record what you say. Honestly. Record it honestly. You know, too many times I said blah, blah, but I really meant something much better than that. And we sugarcoat it. But if you are brutally honest with yourself, because you don't have to show it to anybody else, but you record what you're saying, and you will see, there's a variety of ways to deal with it after. You can cluster it and do all kinds of things. But if you just record what you're thinking, or what you're saying rather, even if it's something that's horrific, you still record it. And then you go over that after a week and see, what am I thinking? What are the thoughts that are staying in my head, that are going through my head, and see some that are coming through, and it's like they cycle through and cycle through. Those are the things that are molding your character. They're molding your character. And too often, they're destroying us, causing a lot of problems. But you've got to be honest and not edit them, so that you can truly identify what's going on inside of your head. And once we identify them, then you can begin to do something about them. What do you do? Well, that's where, again, you go to the Word of God, 2 Corinthians. Anybody know where I'm going? 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10. Verses 3 to 5, bringing, especially verse 5, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Every thought. So if I know that I'm regularly thinking bad thoughts in this area, I take them captive. I don't have to tell anybody else about it, between me and God. I take them captive. And I pray over it and say, God, I want to change this. I want to change this. I want to change this.
God will help you.
God will help you. He doesn't want you to be a mess. God wants us to be well. And the Holy Spirit will help us to have pure thoughts, to have wholesome thoughts, to have healthy thoughts. God will help us to do that. Because He wants us to be healthy. We need to embrace the help of the Holy Spirit to help sanctify our minds. Because as you think, so are you. As you think, so are you. We are a product of our thinking. Psalm 101, verse 3. Is that a familiar verse to anyone? Psalm 101, verse 3. It says, I will set no wicked, worthless thing before my eyes. Boy, how does that apply today? Everybody gets rid of their TV, get rid of the internet, turn off the news. It's really hard today. There are all kinds of worthless things competing for our attention. All kinds of them. It's coming to the place where having a TV in your home is inviting darkness into your soul. There's so much garbage on it now that it's virtually impossible to ignore it completely. Unfortunately, sometimes people put TV on just for company. Just for company. And it's very hard. I'm very blessed because I started collecting old movies years ago. So I have quite a collection of wholesome old movies. Westerns and others that from the 40s, 50s, a few from the 60s. But you can see after that the transition of how things have changed. Movies that used to be things like Jimmy Stewart, probably many don't know, but Jimmy Stewart, he never did a movie. There's not even a swear word in his movies. It's remarkable. Whereas many of today's movies are. Those are the kind of things that they influence us. If we watch them, they influence us. Whether we mean to or not, whatever we're watching is influencing our thinking. Now, if somebody walked up to you and said, I want to put a lot of bad thoughts in your mind, what would you say? You'd say, no, I can't do that. But without meaning to, we do. Even the news now, you watch what's going on in the American elections. We're never as heard a kind word. It's remarkable the things that are being said. It is. We need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. We must have. My mind, my spirit needs the Word of God. God wants me to have it. Regardless of the pace that we live at today, and things are so rushed. They're so rushed today. It's an amazing thing that we have so many conveniences today. We have so many things that were not available. In fact, when I left the government, there was no internet. It was just coming in when I left. There was no Facebook or any of that stuff. Things have changed. The Bible talks about in the last days there'll be a knowledge explosion. We're living in it. We need the help of God. We need God's help. We need God's help. Without it, we're lost. My mind is a delicate thing that has to be protected. It has to be protected. You've got to protect your thoughts. You've got to protect your mind. If you will fill your mind with the Word of God, it will transform you. It will change you. But you've got to embrace and obey. Embrace and obey the things that you read and hear in the Word of God. I'll just moment, see if I can find something. I had HOT, that acronym here. I'm trying to think what it was. Humility, obedience, teachable. That's it, teachable. Those are the three things you think of HOT. Humility, obedience, teachable. And God can transform us. God can transform us. Next Saturday, I'm going to talk about how we literally can become the word that we're reading. But that takes effort. It takes effort. Don't think for a moment that, you know, just pick it up and stuff it in here. It takes time, energy, and effort, but it's possible to do. It's possible to get to the place where that word literally becomes more real to you than the circumstance you're in. That's when things change. That's when things are. That's when Jesus said, nothing is impossible. The reason Jesus could say that was that he knew that his words had a spiritual power to transform the situation. Yours can do the same thing. If you will pay the price that Jesus, well, not that he paid, but you understand what I mean? That the surrendering of yourself. It's not a once a week, it's every day. Every day. But if you're wanting to go to heaven, then this is the road you want to be on anyway. Amen? So that's why I'm just taking my time with this habits of the mind. I probably got at least another dozen or more messages to do from it. It's being changed because it was 20 years ago last time I did it. I've learned a few things in 20 years. I want to see all of us make it to heaven. All of us. I don't want to see anybody left out. I mean, if they get left out, I want it to be their choice. Not because I didn't give every possible opportunity to grow. But you need to understand that the devil is doing double overtime to confuse you, to make you angry, to turn you off, to make you disappointed with me, with Christine, with somebody else, to not like this song or that song, or to have somebody, anything at all, to throw you off. Because if you come in on a Sunday morning and you have a bad interaction with somebody, that usually does you in for the morning. Most people do not recover that morning. And that's a strategy that's used by the enemy to throw us off. He'll do whatever he can. I think I told you that there was a time when I was in Toronto and I was literally walking up to the pulpit to speak, and one of the people in the church grabbed my arm and said to me, whispered in my ear, "And I thought you were a Christian." Well, what a happy thought to bring to the pulpit. I couldn't stop and say, "What are you talking about? You know, I don't even hardly know you." After I found out that this is the fellow who the Friday night before had caught me as I was locking up the church and said, "My great aunt Matilda in you know, somewhere is sick. Would you please pray for her when you have a chance?" Okay. Well, what he literally meant was, "Can we stop right now, right here, and pray for her?" But that's not what he said, you see. So I just responded to what he said. But what he meant was, "We want to pray right now." But because I didn't stop and pray right then, he said to me on the way up, "And I thought you were a Christian." Those are the kind of things the enemy will use to throw us off. Anything he can. He doesn't want your mind here. He wants you thinking about something bad, something negative, something hurtful or harmful, some offense. And he's quite successful. Make no mistake, he is quite successful. Look at how many people he has reached, even in our church, that have left offended and hurt and angry. The enemy works very hard, very hard. And if you want to be one of the people who are not derailed, you're going to have to be committed to the Word of God. Amen? Amen? And you can be. And I'll do everything I can to help. everything. I want to see every one of you in heaven. Every one of you. So, Lord, I thank you for your graciousness. Thank you, Lord, for the kindness of your heart. Thank God for the scripture, I think it's in James 2:13, if I'm not mistaken, it says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Thank God for that. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Father, to be merciful people. Because if I'll embrace mercy, mercy will be released to me. I thank God for his goodness, his graciousness. I bless him and I bless you in Jesus' name.